Hey everybody. welcome. I am going to hola. I am going to start with a song. The song was also in the movie Mr. Nobody. Had a lot of good music in that movie. I can't tell you, God, you tekum loft long me. But it's beautiful music, and after we hear it, I will read you the lyrics, the translation of the lyrics. So here it is. It's quite beautiful, and let me the translation is, and I don't even know frankly what language it is, but the translation says the name of the song is "Take My Life and Let It Be," and which of course is just perfect. And here are the lyrics. Let me read them to you. And this is, this is what came up for today, for the song for today. But here are the lyrics. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. So, yeah, you can see the perfection in that. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Yeah, wow, who knew? I just thought it was a pretty tune. So it's all about surrender, right? So surrender is up. And you know, it's funny because this idea of surrender goes so far beyond what I could ever have imagined. When I think of surrender from a mind standpoint, I think of, okay, God, we'll do it your way, right? But it's really surrender of everything, just like the song talked about. I want to look at that one line again. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. So it's not just, okay, we'll do this thing your way this time, and hopefully it'll work out the way I want. Which is just frankly, my way, and I assume just the thinking mind's way of approaching this whole thing. But really, it's surrender, not just of doing things my way, but surrender of my hopes and dreams and plans. It's absolute surrender. And total allowance of what, total allowance of what is not, what is and what is to be, and any thoughts I have about what anything means and what anything means for me, and how, the world and I are going to intersect and interact, and total surrender. And it's just mind-blowing how far that goes beyond the mental concept of surrender. And Cheryl says, "Take my hands and let them move" is another translation. That was in part of the lyrics. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, of thy love. At the impulse of thy love, not not so I'll get what I want. And it's so funny because that is such a persistent request. And when we looked at the I don't have that material in here in front of me, but when we looked at the tips last night in Gentle Healing on the Thoughts of Awakening, there was one that said something to the effect of enter into the silence and ask for nothing. And again, through the filter of the mind, I want to hear it's like, don't be asking, to get your mortgage paid or your red convertible or whatever. Yeah, I got that. I get not asking for anything. But it's so much more than that. Today, this morning, the thought of Peace Pilgrim has been entering my mind. Cheryl is a big fan of Peace Pilgrim. Regina was a big fan, if you will, of Peace Pilgrim. But just the thought of the way that Peace Pilgrim lived has really entered my mind. And I think that she lived much like the words of that song, in total surrender, total surrender as to, whether or not she was going to eat that day, whether or not she was going to be warm that day. But with no concern for that, not asking the question, am I going to eat? Am I going to, and am I going to have a good day? I mean, even the thought of, gee, how's this going to affect me? What is my life going to look like today? Even that thought was nowhere within her contemplation, as far as I can tell. Well, and I gotta tell you, Cheryl says being completely cared for was the demonstration of her trust. And see, there's something so subtle in there. About this being completely cared for. Because the and I'm obviously just giving you my take on it, but there's something so subtle in there about relying on the benevolence of the universe, and of course, the person, when you do that, the person to be cared for, well, not necessarily, right? Not necessarily. She was completely cared for. She got in that car, the car crashed, and she died. The only time she ever got in a car, right? It's like it doesn't matter whether I'm. Right? Hear the I in that? Whether I'm completely cared for. In fact, let me look. I wrote some with Holy Spirit, inner wisdom about last month's movie. Let me see if I can find it. Well, at any rate, the line from the movie was that the old Nemo, the character who was looking back at the end, throughout the movie, at the possible lives of the main character. Anyway, he said, "Everything turns out in the end, even badly," and that's the subtleness of this surrender. Because what I do, and I say we, I want to say we, but I don't know what your experience is. I know that if I really dig down, my experience is that even badly is not an acceptable result. Right? Everything turns out in the end when I, and therefore I'll surrender. When I do that, even in my most sincere, the depths of where it seems like I can go, I don't want to add the even badly part. But that's the truth of it. The truth of it is, it doesn't matter if this turns out badly. It has no effect on consciousness. None. And consciousness is who I am. So the character's not even my best and highest interest, right? It's not that I'm willing to give up what I determine are my best and highest interests in surrender. That's not the fullness of surrender. The fullness of surrender is the willingness to allow it to turn out even badly from the character's perspective. Yeah, so I'm just going to take a second here. So, as I've told you before, I am grateful for all the opportunities, even the ones that seem to indicate that things are turning out badly. So I'm trying to decide whether or not to tell you what seems to be badly currently. I mean, I guess I can give you some background. I don't know that it really matters, but here it is. It's up. So what seems to be turning out badly today as you guys know, of course, I've got the house for short sale back in Kentucky, and also back there I've got the and we received and accepted a full price offer, full asking price offer on the condo, yay! But yesterday I got the I got information from the realtor that this may not go through because, well, it's complicated, but basically the condo budget isn't showing the necessary reserves for it to qualify for a Fannie Mae or a Freddie Mac loan. Of course, and I looked it up, and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are 97% of the loans. Insure 97% of the loans issued in the United States. So if it doesn't go through with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, it's probably not going to go through. So, yeah, it feels kind of like a defeat snatched right out of the jaws of victory, right? And I don't need things to be perfect, but I do still have a subtle belief. Doesn't seem right subtle right now because I'm talking through my tears. But I do still have a preference. At the very least, that things work out well in the end. And it, and all these things seem intricately woven with other things, I've borrowed the money from a friend for the home that I'm living in, and this money's got to be paid back, and da 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 da, and so there are people relying on me, and it's a domino effect. So I can tell you my preference would be that, things work out well in the end. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to see what a strong preference I have for the comfort of the character you know how I still believe that that's a necessary component. For peace of mind. Now, I can tell you that I really appreciated this week's Thoughts of Awakening and tips and commentary on the Thoughts of Awakening. And I appreciate going to that place where there is only calm, regardless of what is occurring in regardless of what is occurring. And I have access to that calm. And when I sit in that calm, I feel the truth of my being. There's no question about that. But I can tell you that that calm is not all-pervading. When I get off the meditation cushion, and I'm not like freaking out, and I'm not like sitting around the house crying and going, "Oh my God, what am I going to do?" And I'm not trying to, I'm doing what's given me to do. I contact the loan officer, contact the president of the board, try and make connections and that sort of thing. I do what is given me to do, and I'm not freaked out. I'm not pulling my hair out. And I'm not, but that you hear the sadness. You hear the disappointment. And I'm just, yeah, so I'm just, I'm sitting with that, and I have not yet journaled about that. These are all new events, but Kathy says she prefers that too, that things turn out well. Yeah. There's a part of me, I can tell you sincerely, there's a part of me that goes, "Huh. Isn't this interesting? In fact, isn't this cool? Wonder what will happen next." And not wonder how it's going to turn out well in the end. So I see that part, and I appreciate that part, and I am curious, to ride the wave. Yeah, to just see what happens next. So I appreciate you guys letting me share it with you, and it's helpful to share it because it's helpful. Frankly, for me, it helps me get in touch with, and not repress the sadness and the disappointment. It helps me to accept it and allow it. So I don't know where that will go. Yeah, thanks for letting me share it with you. I will tell you more next week, and I don't know, and I don't mean I'll tell you more about well, and I will. I'll give you more of the facts, I'm sure, but I will tell you more about how this turn of events in the life of the character have informed my awakening, my understanding. Understanding's a bad word, but bad word. No, I don't mean it like that. Yeah, how that's integrated. I don't know how else to address that. Say it. So I do want to say that despite my preferences, I am grateful for it all. I am grateful for it all. Course, ego's going, "Are you nuts?" I liked Kathy's ego voice a while ago, but I got the same one going in my head. Are you nuts? I guess I am. Nuts for God. Nuts for awakening. What am I going to do? Am I going to reject it? Am I going to go, no, I'm not going to live that part of my life. No, I'm going to. It's like watching a movie. I'm going to say, oh, wow, okay, can't wait to see the next scene. And that's, it's that same gratitude that I was talking about on Sunday. I'm grateful for the experience. And if I were to ask for anything, I would ask for I would ask for the humility and the gosh, openness to truly embrace it all, to truly embrace all of experience. With a warm welcome, not with a, okay, I can accept this, right? Just the tr that true, yay, it's experience. Yeah, so, and that's where the calm is. That's where the joy is. That's where the peace is. And you know what? I know that if life were to, okay, and so, oh, well, that's okay because I win the lottery tomorrow or whatever. And these thoughts go through the ego mind, right? Well, then there'll be something else that'll come in. And, but if things went that way, I mean, the looking, it seems to me, at least for me, would not be that deep. The ability to practice the embrace of those things that I would rather reject. It wouldn't have the garden to grow in, right? If everything was hunky dory all the time. So, anyway, I think that's all I have to say about that. So what I'm going to do now is I do want to say that I noticed when Cheryl read the introduction to the program, she talked about me sharing honestly the ups and downs and all arounds of the spiritual path, and I think we've covered that. Thus far in this program. So, I just looked down and I had written that down. So let me share with you now, from my journal. I'm just going to pick up where I left off last time. I don't know if it's going to be helpful to me or you or anybody, but here it is. So that's what's next. All right. So this was 10 days ago on June the 17th. I wrote, "Good morning, Father. What would you have me know, do, or see today?" And the response, "I would have you see that your wisdom," and then in parentheses, "my wisdom," smile. "I would have you see that your wisdom is always accessible. You need not go through any particular incantation or ritual in order to access this wisdom. While I am pleased you have made the commitment to journal on a regular basis, do not think this is some trick to convince me to talk to you. Again, smile. The wisdom that you find here is actually found within you. It is our great joy, as you can feel, to share it. I appreciate the, I mentioned the benevolent universe a while ago. I appreciate the benevolence in this response from inner wisdom. I appreciate, in fact, when I read it, the Good Morning Father, I appreciate that. I talked to you all before about giving up the idea of some guy in the sky with a clipboard, some white bearded fellow in the sky with a clipboard. But this father idea, these are the words that Jesus used for inner wisdom, for the universe, for consciousness. This father is just such a gentle, all-embracing way of relating to the truth of who I am. I'm grateful for that relationship with inner wisdom. And at the same time, it's cool to see it come in here that it's pointed out by inner wisdom, this is not something that's separate from you. Your wisdom, your truth is within you. And then, even in this same paragraph, it says, it is our great joy, as you can feel. And of course, I did feel it as I wrote it. It is our great joy to share it. Our great joy. So again, this is a it's so comforting and so peaceful and so expansive, and so gentle. Again, I've got two smiles in here from inner wisdom. I feel like I've been patted on the head, right? But it's cool to see it. It's our great joy. So this it's just like this. One of these things that's beyond the thinking mind's ability to conceptualize. Because I've got, the father-child relationship, it's all you, and then it's our great joy. So just this whole dynamic of none of those things mean anything. None of these possessive terms, none of these descriptive terms for the truth of wisdom, for the truth of oneness. There's no term picked out here and like, oh, this is the right term. No, you're wrong when you look at it. It's all encompassing. And so as I read this, I appreciate that the easy the ease with which inner wisdom can move back and forth between these father-child inner, outer, you, I, our. I just appreciate the ease with it because it doesn't matter. The ease with that. At any rate, I also asked on that day, what about the absence of presence? I felt yesterday on my quote unquote day off. Inner wisdom says, that is your choice as well. But how did that work for you? You felt a bit lost and lonely, did you not? Do you imagine it is homesickness for your family? Boredom? You may attribute those feelings to those phenomena, but you know this is not the truth. That is merely a story you assign. Remember to ask me, what am I to do now? That was all that was forgotten. No worries. I love you, Jacqueline, and you cannot offend. So, on the heels of that, I went, oh, okay. What would you have me do now? And the answer, again, very gently, the answer, I would have you go about the task you have settled on for the day. Remember, though, to ask me specifically throughout the day so that I can help you order your day in a way that encourages your remembrance of me and of our shared purpose. I am so pleased to work with you this way. Blessings, dear child. Amen. Yeah, of course, that's reminiscent of the tip that we looked at last night about the inner guiding force. And the inner guiding force is happy to lead or to follow or to lead for a while and then pick up where you left off once you take over. But it's just really, really sweet. You know, it's like, you know, there's no specific thing that I have to do. I don't have to say these words, what would you have me do? There's no magic incantation. Our purpose, our shared purpose is remembrance of the truth of who we are. And, so as I go through the day, to the extent I remember to ask, what would you have me do now? Inner wisdom will help me order my day in a way that encourages my remembrance of my purpose. You know? It's like, you know, cool, do it if you want. Don't do it if you don't want. But if you have a question, let me know. Right? No pressure, no forcing. All right, I'm going to read to you my next journal entry here. This is on June the 20th. Short. Father, what would you have me know, see, do now? And I don't know what was going on at this particular time. It may come back to me, but apparently there was some anxiety there. because after I asked that question, the response was, you know that the anxiety you feel is the noise of the world that seems to exist on top of the silence. Yeah, apparently I've been I've been reading my thought of awakening. You know that the anxiety is the noise of the world that seems to exist on top of the silence. You need not place your attention there. Give me your attention. You do this by trusting in me and in the silence rather than trusting in the thinking mind. The thinking mind will not save you. It cannot. And I can tell you that that's becoming more and more apparent to me. But as I... You know, yesterday the realtor reached out to me and said, gee, can you contact somebody with the condo association because, you know, the loan officer says they're not getting what they need from them. And, you know, yeah, so I picked up the phone and I talked to the president of the condo association and, responded back to the realtor and said, gosh, would it help me to... Would it help for me to contact the loan people? But, you know, none of that felt forced. None of that felt like, oh, my God, there's a problem, and I got to fix it, right? So it's not like, and then this morning after I had had a conversation with the loan officer and you know, and saw where things were, and it's not like, you know, I could see the mind want to go, well, gee, maybe you'll win the lottery. You know, you bought lottery tickets in La Vida when you were there on Tuesday. But it's not like it feels like it's something that I have to figure out. And that's a shift. That's a shift from the old way of being. I know I don't have to figure this out. And I know that everything will turn out in the end even badly. In the old days, the mind would be saying, gee, isn't there something else you could be or you should be doing to force this thing to go the way you want it to go? And that's what's been let go of. And for that, I'm grateful. Right? As it says here, the thing mind will not save you, it cannot. So I am content to let things unfold, to let things end however they do, even badly. Though there's no question I have a slight preference for ending well. All right. So then on 6/21, I asked about the movie, and I'm sorry, I know this isn't movie group, but I did in my journaling ask, what would you have me see in the movie Mr. Nobody? And this is the answer. Ask yourself what you felt as you watched the movie. Did you feel Nemo, the main character, did you feel Nemo made bad choices? Did you feel as if he would have had a better life if he made better choices? The choices you make within the world of illusion may seem to have a lasting impact. But remember, those choices do not define the character. The characters within the movie were only limited by the choices they made when they saw themselves as limited by those choices. You know, I think that that's, again, that's a real subtlety here. It's like I have felt, and I've talked about this in the past, I have felt often paralyzed. That seems like a strong word. Sometimes it's been paralyzed, sometimes it's been somewhat less than that. But I have felt in the past paralyzed by the need to make a choice because I can't see how things will turn out if I make that choice, right? I don't, oh my God, this will have some great impact, and if I make the wrong choice, and then it's gonna just. And this is what the movie was about. It's going to spiral out from there, and I won't be able to control the results of those choices. And so the whole world seems to turn on the balance of what any particular choice I'm going to make at any particular time. And the stress of that has been in the past just unbearable. But the interesting thing, the thing that I see here is he's like, it wasn't the choices that the character, he, in wisdom, my inner wisdom, it wasn't the choices that the characters made that ended up limiting their further choices. It was their belief in the limitations that limited their choices. Because you see, I've still. I still subscribe to the script of the world. I still believe that that A plus B equals C. I still believe that there is that there's a matrix to life. That there's a flow chart, if you will. That's what I mean when I'm talking about matrix here. That there's a flow chart, if B, then you have to, then your choices are limited to, C and D. If A, your choices are limited to E and F, right? The way a flow chart would flow. That's still belief in the world. That's still the belief that there is an objective world that controls life. And it's just not that way. I'm reminded of a couple things here. I'm reminded of, I think it was Nisargadatta Maharaj said, or could have been Ramana, I don't know, that said, there are two ways at looking at life. One is that nothing is a miracle, and the other is that everything is, and I choose the latter. And there was something from the Course in Miracles that just flashed in and flashed right back out. I'm not able to. Oh, it's something about being entitled to miracles, right? And again, it all seems like a miracle because we believe that the world flows in, a certain way, that time flows in one direction, that things are set in stone, that, if A, then B. And this is saying this is not true at all. You're only ever limited by your belief in limitation. There are no rules. Yeah. So again, it says the choices you make within the world of illusion may seem to have a lasting impact, but remember those choices do not define the character. The characters within the movie were only limited by the choices they made when they saw themselves as limited by those choices. It goes on. Remember how Nemo asked himself as a young child why he was him and not someone else. We live as the character we choose to be. We can make one choice as easily as another. None of the choices we make have any lasting impact. This is because what occurs within illusion has no effect on the truth of our being. Let the choices of the day remain with the day. Let not yourself be bound to the choices you have made or will make. The only choice of any consequence is the choice to remember that who you really are lies beyond any choice made by the character you play. This world was made as a place for you to explore the endless possibilities of human existence. You should note that each of them carried its own share of suffering. Even the happiest of lives, Nemo, the main character in the movie, even the happiest of lives Nemo lived was full of suffering, of anxiety, of wanting. As the movie demonstrated, there is no need for regret, for mourning what might have been lost. Experience is. This is where your focus and your gratitude should lie. Go forth and experience what you would, but remember that the real choice lies in making the choice beyond choice, to remember what you once knew, which is everything. That's amazing. Whew, I feel that. Yeah, again, it's like trying to understand oneness from this limited perspective of the character. It just cannot be done. And to try to understand it and to make sense of it and to hope that everything will turn out well in the end, that's the choice. To experience the human experience And the human experience necessarily contains lack and limitation and worry and regret and all those things. That is it. That's the experience that we chose to have. Rather than unlimitedness, abundance, absolute celebration for the unlimited potentiality of what we are. So when Jeff Foster talked about embracing it all and allowing it all, this is what he was talking about. It's like, this is the experience. Have it. Have it. Allow it. Let it. Let yourself be sad. Let yourself be disappointed. Let yourself be regretful. This is the experience. Enjoy it. It's mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing. Yay! Wow. And so far beyond the ability of little Jacqueline to understand, comprehend, place within my matrix of the world and Jacqueline's relationship to the world. It's not about that. It's not about that. Okay, so I'm going to finish up with this last journal entry that I have, which was from the same day I said, what is coming up for me is regret over lost love. What do you have to say to me about this? And I really was having this sadness come up, and, you know, I could tell you the story. It's an episode from the life of Jacqueline, you know, the love of my life, and all of that. But and I was just really feeling the sadness in it, and you know, I think the movie brought this up for me. So here's what I wrote, and I'll read you what I wrote and the answer that came forth. What is coming up for me is regret over lost love. What do you have to say to me about this? And the answer, I am grateful for your willingness to allow these unresolved issues to surface. You have been unwilling to see this until now, and so have been willing to let yourself be motivated by what you have repressed. Just as I said above, there is no need for regret. All experience is cause for celebration. As Nemo said in the movie, everything turns out in the end, even badly. All is well, and not one ounce of love has been or ever could be lost to you. And I remember struggling over whether that was supposed to say for you or to you. So it's interesting, it turned out to you. All is well, and not one ounce of love has been or ever could be lost to you. The feelings of loss you have are all centered on the stories you tell yourself about yourself and your role in the loss you think you have experienced. There is no loss. As I told you in A Course in Miracles, only the love remains. The love that you felt then and the love that you think you lost was and is within you. How could you lose what you are? Let the stories be what they are. Bless them and thank them and be glad you lived them. There is nothing more to do with them. They tell you nothing of who you are other than your incredible capacity to give and receive love. When I tell you that you are love, make it your aim to experience yourself as the love that you are. It is here that you give and receive your greatest gift. The love that is within you could never be lost and is easily found by returning to your heart. You are loved, my dear child, because you are the love that you seek. And then I was inspired to include this quote from A Course of Love. All that has come of love will be kept, and all that has come of fear will fall away. Okay, that's it. I see Kathy had a question about sound. I hope that you heard me. I heard something jingle and juggle here as I was speaking, so okay, good. I love you guys with all my heart, and I'm grateful to you. So I'm releasing the mic back to you, Cheryl. Thanks.
Right.